Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. The door out in front should tell you about the new thing. But the new thing and the old thing and the Ravens thing, this is where Leonard Raskin comes in because I've had some fun conversations. Leonard, last time I left you, a week ago, we were talking about the Super Bowl 35 championship, right? And I've been holding up the poster of Brian Billick from the Ring of Honor and the trophy and David Modell and all that. So since I left you last week, I've had on, I don't know, about 12, 13 people from the team. And Jack Del Rio came on this week. And I got to thinking about like the old championship and the new championship and the difference between 01 and 13, not just the 12 years. But I got to thinking like, do I like one more than the other? Am I more, which one's my favorite child, you know? Yeah. And this is really when it stuck me, Leonard. It stuck me this morning, which it happens to be February the 3rd. Today is February the 3rd. And for 20 years now, I have thought of January 28th as almost like an addendum to my birthday. My birthday is October 14th. It has a special ring to it. January 28th was one of those days like Elvis's birthday or whatever that I remember. Leonard, I'm gonna embarrass myself now. I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning on the 3rd of February and I went on someone's Facebook and they said it was 8 years ago today that we won the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And I'm like, is that the second or the third? Like, I didn't even know the date. So it probably tells me that I am more enamored with the first one than the second one. Now, I may catch up on that in a couple of years. Matt Burke tried to catch me up on Wednesday. He joined, you know, but how are you and how are you dealing with the fallout of no football and one game left, huh?
Oh, it's so bad that I watched the Hula Bowl.
Ha! Well, Baldinger did the Hula Bowl, so you had good broadcasters.
Right. The Hula Bowl, for God's sakes. I love football. I love watching it. And I watched the Senior Bowl a little bit. And I watched the Hula Bowl and said, okay, at least there's a game this week.
You've been Something to Hawaii? To have you ever been past that stadium?
I have.
Aloha Stadium?
They said this might be the last game ever at that stadium. I don't know. I didn't catch the backstory of that, whether they're tearing it down or just not going to use it anymore or what. But they said that this was going to be the last football game there. I'm thinking they used to have Pro Bowls there and this game's there and other college games have been there. And I'm thinking, I didn't catch the story of why it's going away. But yeah, that's the football story. And then the other thing that hit me in the brain about this Super Bowl week and all this craziness. And I'm with you. The first one kind of has more memory to a degree. And it's just because it was the first one and the craziness of my going. But the second one actually holds a little more in my heart a little bit, you know, because my wife and son were with me at the second one.
I feel same way. So, the second one, my wife and my son were with me. I wasn't married the first time, you know? Right.
Yeah, I was, and I told you a story last time.
Oh, yeah, the furniture. How's that? Do you still have that furniture or no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But my wife and son with me the second time was just a real blast.
Well, this would be the 20th anniversary of the furniture right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't think it was here quite yet. It probably came to, you know, March or something. But, yeah, the 20th anniversary of my credit card getting dinged. Absolutely.
Well, such things happen.
They're both good kids. They're both great, great. We've got the trophy to show for it. We've got all the framed pictures of everything. You know, I'm a big Joe Flacco fan, so I was real happy to see him win. It was interesting this week to hear Trent Dilfer still be bitter about being let go after that first Super Bowl and the way he was treated.
Well, Dilfer has that, and I've had various conversations with Trent over the course of his life where he's been better about it. I had a conversation with him in Detroit in 06 that was very lengthy. I may run some of those next week in the early
part. Now that it's the 20th, he might be feeling it a little more.
Well, Leonard, I'll tell you, man, I didn't get a chance to go to – this is 27 straight years I would be at Radio Row. I probably wouldn't be doing this piece with you right now. Like, on the normal Radio Row. I've checked in with a couple of people. There is no Radio Row this year. Like, none of the stations came. There's nobody there. It's empty. So I'm sitting here sort of doing a virtual thing. We've had Matt Burke on. We've had various people on.
Sure.
Solomon Wilcox checked in. And we'll do a little bit. But it's a little bit of a light version for me this week. And part of this has been sort of like thinking about the totality of the Super Bowl and Tampa and New Orleans and these anniversaries that come and these people that come back into my life. You know, you mentioned Joe Flacco and the second parade. Did you attend either parade?
I did not. The first parade, I just didn't go to. It was enough to be there, hold the trophy at the night of the game. That was better than the parade. The second one, second one with the wife and son, you know, my anniversary. So this is 27 years this year. And it is February 5th is my anniversary.
So you stayed in New Orleans and party?
Exactly.
We stayed in New Orleans. Yeah, all right. And, all right.
The next day. So again,
you cleaned up the mess.
Right. Another quick funny. My son. So this is, what was it? You said 8 years ago. Is that right?
Eight years ago today.
Yeah. So the day after the Super Bowl, because we went in on Saturday. We didn't do any partying. Actually, we went in Sunday morning.
You got there late and stayed late. I stayed late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went right from the airport to your party in New Orleans at the Natchez. And then you walked.
You did the walk?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
And then
it was 8 years ago today. We did the walk now that I'm thinking
about
it.
That's right. We hung out late after the game. And then the next day, we went back to the French Quarter and hung out in the French Quarter. And we were walking down, you know, the sordid streets of New Orleans. And my son says, "Daddy," he now 8 years ago, okay, he's 10 years old. He said, "Daddy, what is that smell?" And I had to explain to him the humanness of the smell on Bourbon Street and the like. And he said to me then, "Daddy, I will never, ever drink. That's disgusting." And so, you know, that's a good thing for a 10-year-old to say. So,
but now he's at Ohio State, and who the hell knows, right?
Well, we don't think he's drinking yet.
Well, okay, but, fair enough. That's good to know.
Who knows at 18, right? And he's at the school, right? Who knows? But the other thing, really funny, quick end to that. I had plans that night to meet a friend who lives down there. We were going out to dinner with a friend of mine and his family, and my son, 10 years old. We get in the car. And we're heading to the restaurant. We meet this guy at the restaurant. His name's Paul. My son says, "Mr. Paul," never thought of this. He didn't say anything to me. "Mr. Paul, we spent the day at the French Quarter." He said, "Oh, did you have a good time?" "Yeah, we had a good time." He said, what are the other quarters?" This is what a 10-year-old asks. What are the other quarters? Now, Paul's a native. And he said, "I've lived here my whole life. No one's ever asked me that question. I've never considered that there should be other quarters."
Well, no one else landed there other than maybe the Cajuns down the road.
He said, "Matthew, there are no more quarters.
The rest of it's all gypsy quarters."
Right. He didn't understand in math how there couldn't be more quarters.
Well, I mean, you know, at least he was up on his fractions. Leonard Raskin is here. He's counting his fractions and decimals and taxes and money and keeping an eye on GameStop and all sorts of things. You know, when it comes to these Super Bowls, I the parades were incredible. Anybody that didn't attend, the second was kind of frightening, to be really honest with you. I was frightened a little bit. It was a little crazy. The first one wasn't as crazy, and I was on the float, and I released the video last week with Mike Flynn and I.
Were people trying to climb into the stadium at the second
one? The second time, yeah. You know, Dick Cass really underestimated how many people were going to show up. He's famously talked about, like, they were very worried about staging it at the stadium. Remember, the first time they staged it at City Hall.
Right.
And the video of that's up. You can go see it at Baltimore Positive that Mike Flynn sent me last year. It's an hour-long video. All the players are in it, all the floats. Flynn singing "Who Let the Dogs Out" a whole lot.
Yeah.
And "We Are the Champions." A lot of "We Are the Champions" going on. But the second parade was much bigger, and it began at City Hall with a bunch of very, very hungover players. I don't know what Ed Reed was doing when he was singing two tickets to Paris, but he was holding the trophy out for the fans, and I have video of it all. So I ran up to the stadium. When I got there, I ran into Joe Flacco, and Flacco was in the back end of it, right? So I saw Flacco.
I get a car.
He was standing there. He was all alone. And I thought it was just me and him, right? I probably should pull this picture up because the picture is hilarious. If I can actually find the picture in the next minute or two, it is kind of funny. Because I cornered Joe. It was the first time I had seen him since I left him in New Orleans. I was literally in front of him during the press conference. The press conference didn't happen on a podium. It kind of happened flat. And he had that Art Modell patch, you know, that he had on his shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I held my little camera 2 feet away from him. So, you know, I had, you know, done all that and seen all that. And so it was 2 days, well, a day and a half later, he had, remember, gone to Letterman. Remember he did Letterman. Letterman was still on the air then. Is that right?
I think so.
He went to New York, whatever the New York show was. You tell me what that was. I don't even know.
I don't remember that.
So I saw him on TV the night before. I said, "You did a good job." He said, "Yeah, you think so?" The first thing he said to me, I'll pull the picture up, was this parade bigger? He wanted to know that the second parade was bigger than the first parade. And I'm like, dude, way, way bigger. It was a way, way bigger parade.
Bigger.
So this picture of us was actually, when I saw him, it was just him. There was nobody around. We're at the top of the ramp. You know, that ramp that you go down into to get in the bowl.
Yeah.
Everybody's in the stadium. There's security. You know, we're cordoned off. And it's just me and him. And I'm having like a private conversation with him. Except the helicopter from Channel 13 had us on live television. This conversation happened for 2 minutes down the ramp. And I thought, it's just me and Joe. Meanwhile, everybody's blowing my text up saying, dude, you're on TV with Flacco walking down the ramp. And people were asking, what were you saying to him? Right. And I said, it wasn't what I was saying to him. I told him he was good on television last night. It's that he wanted to know if this parade was bigger. That's there how competitive go. He is.
That's
he had
it.
Just broken all the records of Montana. We had all this fun. And his question to me was, hey, man, it's a bigger parade, right? Right?
11 touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's the jersey in him, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he had a playoffs to remember. There is no doubt. No doubt.
It has been brought up, and we're on this Tom Brady, Mahomes thing. You'll be watching, right? You'll be getting some Rofo chicken over your place.
Absolutely.
Doing it up the way.
How about you go back to the 20 years? The Ravens' first Super Bowl year was Brady's rookie season. How crazy is that he's still slinging the pigskin?
Well, how crazy is it that Matt Cavanaugh wanted to draft him?
Well, hey, you know.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe Billy could be going to the Hall of Fame. Who knows?
Right. Get that, what is it? Back to the Future. Get that DeLorean out.
Well,
let's see what the world does.
Tom Brady with the beautiful mind. I had Matt Burke on this week, Leonard, and we were talking about that because he played with Favre, you know, obviously, and played with Flacco. And I said, you know, would you have liked to play with Brady? He's like, yeah, I never really thought about that. You know, like, you don't think about the possibility of what you can't do. You know what I mean? I guess when you're in the league. But it has been nice catching up. And I think 20 years of those players now, you know, 8 years of Matt Burke and Joe Flacco and Dennis Pitta and that, Torrey Smith and that class. We've really built something wonderful here that I think draws us to watching football on Sunday night, the TV commercials, Wayne's World,
definitely
everything else is going on, you know?
Definitely be in the Super Bowl. I mean, I'll be watching. There's no doubt. This is going to be hopefully a classic game.
You know, I hope the game's as good as the quarterbacks.
That's what I was going to say. If it's as good as their earlier meeting this year, their October meeting, it'd be fantastic. I'd be interested. I'd be watching Tyreek Hill doing a backflip into the end zone. That'd be something to see.
Well, look, man, I've been waiting to have you on all week. Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global here, managing money, your money, finances. We talk about all this stuff. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. I don't know that it's often that the lead story on the news, you know, becomes the market in one way or another, specifically an item on the market, although Apple puts something new out, things can affect the market. But the GameStop thing and the Robinhood thing and the fact that everybody has been downloading this Robinhood app, despite the fact, you know, it's like Budweiser saying they're not going to advertise and they've got more promotion out of it being a bad thing than a good thing.
Right.
GameStop and this, where are you on the side of a novice who would look at this and say, the market's fixed and the rich people are ringing everybody else out?
Yeah. You know, the market... So there's a big difference between the market and investing and what's happened with all of this. This is a pure case of greed, gambling, and speculating with money. The hedge fund managers did what's called, you know, they shorted the stock. So they borrow the stock and they hope the price of the stock goes down.
They were almost trying to put it out of business, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And they try to dive the price of the stock. And when they do that, they then buy the stock back at a dramatically cheaper price and they win billions. And in the meantime, they didn't use their money to buy the stock. They borrow the money to buy the stock. So they're hoping that the performance is way greater than the interest cost to invest. And they're just gambling. That's pure speculation and gambling. Well, what happened here is small investors got together, ganged up on them and said, no, we're not going to let you do this. We're going to start buying the stock. Supply and demand dictates the price of the stock goes up. And it went up like a rocket. It went straight up. It just took off.
And we're talking about huge losses for these hedge fund managers, right?
Huge. Well, what happens is when that happens, it's called a short squeeze. They've got to cover their position. They've got to then have the stock and deliver. And the only way they can deliver is to buy the stock back at a higher price. Well, they don't have the money to do that. So they have to take all their money. And so what happens is a couple things. Number one, if they're not liquid, if they don't have the cash, they can't do it. So a couple things. One, they either borrow more or get a cash infusion, which a couple of them did, or they start selling other company stocks that they actually own. So let's say they owned Facebook and they owned Google and they owned General Electric and whatever. They start dumping those stocks. Well, that causes the market to go down, which we saw, you know, a couple big down days in the market last week when this was all going on. In the meantime, the small investor that's ganging up on them is watching GameStop and AMC and a couple other companies go through the roof. And they're saying, ha, we beat you. Well, the fact is they only beat them if they sold at the top somehow and got out of those stocks, because what happens inevitably is the stock finds its price. Every stock is worth what it's worth, and it finds its value in the marketplace, and it was worth 300 one day and it's worth 100 the next day. So that stock finds its water level. It finds its value, and all the knowable information is in the price of that stock. So what happens is it comes back down to earth. If you bought that stock in this game going on Robinhood, you're a novice and you bought it at 250, 300 and change. And then now yesterday it's worth 100 again. You got wiped out yourself. And so as a speculator and gambler, it's very, very dangerous to do. Very dangerous time to be playing in this arena if you don't know what you're doing. Now, there's great stories. This kid made, you know, $20,000 on the stock and bought Nintendo Switches for some hospital kids or something. That's a great story. Another kid, his grandmother gave him a couple shares of GameStop. He got $5,000 out of it and put it away for his college. Great story. But a lot of people got slaughtered on both sides. Now, as far as the hedge fund manager goes, I don't really care that they got slaughtered, because the fact of the matter is they knew the game they were playing. They just got beat at it on a quick hit. The people that don't know what they're doing, the non-gang that ganged up on the hedge fund, these regular everyday citizens that went into Robinhood thinking they were going to buy a stock and make a fortune in a week, some of them are going to get clobbered, and some already did, because they don't buy at $2 or $10 and ride it to 300 and sell. They buy it at 290 and get out at 100, and they got slaughtered. And it's rampant speculating and gambling with your money. There is academic, empirically tested, scientific method to invest your money for the long term. The market is not rigged. The market recognizes everything going on around it and in it. And the forces of that create prices in stocks that are accurate all the time. And that speculating and gambling drives up a stock or drives down a stock. That's gambling. But if you own that stock and you hold it for 20 years, it'll find its water level. So
Let's play judge here. Let's play government. Let's play protect the people. You know, let's play like fair. Okay. Yeah. What can be done about it? Anything?
Nothing. And nothing should. See, the problem is Robinhood stopped traders from buying the stock and trading in that stock. That was dreadful. That could put them out of business. That should have never happened. The market will just figure out what the price needs to be. Buyers and sellers should determine it. Less regulation and the government being out of this is the way to go. The problem is people think that's investing. And let's say you're a 15-year-old or that 10-year-old kid, and that's the experience you had. But another 10-year-old had the experience of losing his money that he saved out of his paper route or something. And now he lost his money. His experience of investing is tainted for maybe the rest of his life. And that's a darn shame, because
my father was 10 when
investing.
He stood in bread lines in 1929 with Herbert Hoover.
See, and that's not investing. What's going on right here is speculating and gambling. And the news is pumping it like the market as you said, is rigged. The market is not rigged. There are games that go on. There are things that happen, but that is not investing. That's called speculating and gambling. And if you're playing in that arena, you get what you get. The government should do nothing about it. They will. Of course, Congress will hold hearings. What happened? Who did it?
But for people that have money with you, this is not anything that legitimate people, you wouldn't put anybody in GameStop or out. Nope. You wouldn't say, let's go try to make $1,000 over the next day or next hour, right?
Not on any stock, any time. If you're buying individual stocks, you are speculating and gambling with your money. I don't care if you're the CEO of the company. You don't know what next quarter's earnings are going to be. You don't know what's going on in the world around you. You know, Blockbuster was here and then they're not. Kodak was here and then they're not. MCI was here and then they're not. Look, Pizza Hut declared bankruptcy last year. If people don't eat enough pizza, we're all in trouble. So if you own an individual stock, you are speculating and gambling with your money. There is a science to investing that if you want to be a long-term successful investor, you must learn. And if you don't, you and your money over the long term will not do really, really well. It's very simple. People make terrible investment decisions and massive investment mistakes. And getting in on this thing that's going on is a huge roll of the dice. You might as well go to Vegas or Atlantic City or down to the casino yet here in Baltimore and bet your money. You'd have a lot more fun than playing this GameStop game. It's really, really bad for investors.
Leonard Raskin is here. He's Raskin Global. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. You can also find him out on the front of Baltimore Positive, giving us good advice. And I guess I'll leave you with this, which will bring it all, because you said the key word there, sort of like Fred Flintstone, bet, Vegas. You said Vegas. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to feel whole this year. People have asked, like, you know, what's the vaccine's coming and what's going to feel normal? Some people say, I can go to an Oriole game or I can go to a Ravens game. If I get to do the Vegas trip in the fall, I will feel like 21's back to kind of where we need to be. If I can go to Vegas and things are normal, we play that game in November, December, whenever it is, I'm going to feel good about that as a Ravens fan, because I don't necessarily harbor thoughts that we're all going to get back in the upper deck September 1st right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've recently gotten my letter to renew my tickets. It was quite a shock. I think it came the day after we got knocked out of the playoffs. I sent out the email and said, hey, time to renew your tickets. I'm like, really? That was good timing. But yeah, being able to go watch an O's game, go watch a Ravens game. The Hippodrome just announced that their season's going to start up in the fall. We're a season ticket holder at the Hippodrome.
I did not know that about you. Yeah, that's a couple blocks away. That's good to hear, man. Thank you.
Yeah, that seems more unlikely than sitting at a Ravens game, because I think outside people are going to be a little more confident than sitting inside. But I applaud them for being bold and saying we're going to kick the season off in September. You know, we'll see what comes, but, normal. I think a lot of people have to be convinced that normal is back.
Well, we're waiting on normal, and between now and then, you'll take care of the money. I'll take care of the conversations in the sports. We'll try to bring this whole thing together. Appreciate your support as always. I'm going to check back in again next week, and who knows, Tom Brady, he's running out of fingers. You got to start putting him on his toes, right?
Oh my goodness. No, I like to see the old dude do well, but I just can't imagine him winning another Super Bowl. I mean, and my friends that are in New England, they're just dying. But they
haven't had it good enough. Okay,
Love him and they want him to win, and they've been bragging on him for 20 years. Like, they're just annoying people. No, they're good people.
Well, of course they are. Oh yeah, they're Red Sox fans.
Yeah. But it was, you know, I like to see them not be in there with the Patriots, because the Bruins, the Celtics, the Patriots, the Red Sox, they've had so much winning. It's good, but
well, this would be a nice little poop burger for Belichick if Brady wins. I mean, at least we could have that.
It'd be terrible. Belichick would be the unhappiest man on the planet on Sunday night.
If my Brady dude wins. Ryan Jensen wins, I'll say it's because you wore the red shirt from Raskin
there
Global.
We go.
You look red. A little bit like Tom Brady right now. Let it Raskin here, Raskin Global. You can find him out on the front of BaltimorePositive.com. And taking care of your money always. If you need some advice, you can always reach out to them, and the website's outstanding as well. I'm going to step out. and step back in. We are doing a virtual Radio Row. We're not in Tampa. We're here, but we're celebrating things that happened in Tampa, New Orleans, and other places. Probably going to get some best of out next week for all of our Hall of Fame conversations, some of which we missed this week not being in Tampa on Radio Row. I am Nestor. You can find me, Nasty, at WNST.net, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, and anyway, we serve you. We're going to be serving some Baltimore positive your way right after this.